This is the partner message for Unconditional Love Fellowship, and it's for the month of May 2018. And I apologize for this being late, but as a number of you know, we took a trip to Florida to meet with all of Nancy's many, many relatives. It was a very wonderful time to be with about 100 of her cousins and uncles, and to just be there in the middle of Cuba, that's for sure. I want to thank you. There's a number of you, and we know that you were praying for us, and as we took the trip, and we sought to keep in touch with you through Facebook. But thank you for your prayers. It's a reality. It was a crazy journey. We drove all the way through the southern states, and especially in Florida, the craziness went to almost infinity. And there was a lot of danger on the road, a lot of construction, and there were wrecks all around us. And we came through without a scratch, and I want to thank you for that. We also, in leaving, we just decided to leave early because of the nature of the trip there. And by leaving early, the storm that hit Florida was right on our heels. We actually went through part of it, but then we were free and clear. But of course, after we had left, right after we left, the storm hit. And if we had stayed that extra day that we had originally planned, well, it would have been a different trip. So thank you. I appreciate so deeply the bond that is forged between us in such things as this. And it's because of that that we are late in getting this message to you, because when we came back, there was all the work that had piled up, and everything was all those days off. And so this is the first time I've been able to sit down and chat with you and share with you what is happening. One of the things that we came back to, sounds terrible as I'm saying it, I'm sure. The office down in De Zavala, you've heard us talk about that. It's where we had church for a brief period. It's where we had the recording studio. And we'd already determined to move out for the enormity of the rent, and everything was not working out as planned. But just as we were back a couple of days, we had a shooting down there. It was a drive-by shooting by vandals. It happened in the middle of the night, but they went along the whole of the area that we're in and shot out the windows of businesses, which included us. They smashed the front door, which is one great big window, and also the window beside it. And that, of course, has just heaped such a lot to do that we'd not planned on. And then the insurance company said that they would give us $580 to repair. Well, they wouldn't even pay for just the little part of it. I mean, that's utterly ridiculous. And also our part, deductible, is $500. So they are giving us $89 for two massive windows that have been blown out. And that has been what we've been involved in that has caused us to get this to you late. So pray for that too. It's what we don't need. Thank God it was in the middle of the night. Thank God nobody was hurt. And also that we already had begun to move our stuff out to Bandera. And as I speak, they are moving the very last things out to get out of that place before whoever did that comes back to do more. And so again, that's an item for prayer and the finances to cover that. And also, I want to remind you again of our retreat coming up that early part of December. It's my 80th birthday this year, which means that I have been breathing as a human being for nearly 80 years now, plus 9 months in the womb, for we believe in the womb you're a full human being, so we're all 9 months earlier, older than we talk about. And this October will be my 80th birthday, and so this retreat in December will take on some sort of celebration of that, and I plan there to announce our plans for the future. Someone says it's about time you retire. For goodness sake, I wouldn't know how to retire. And not only not retire, we have plans for the future. And so if you plan to come to that retreat, I would suggest you make your plans as early as possible, because it could be that we'll run out of space. That is a possibility. And so plan to be with us. It's going to be a great retreat. Leave my 80th stuff out of it. It's still going to be a great retreat. We're talking about our inheritance in Christ. And I would say that as high as 80% of believers didn't even know they have an inheritance. And so we're going to delve deeply into how we connect with and receive of our inheritance in Christ. Well, let me get to what I want to share with you. It's, well, let me begin by saying this, that we human beings, we, because we're creatures, we are limited. That's the nature of a human being. We're limited. There are boundaries wherever we turn, to the point where we never really think about it. We just have learned to live within obvious boundaries and limitations. The theological word for limitless would be infinity. I say it's theological because no human being, no creature is infinite. No human creature is limitless. Only God is infinite. In our slow destruction of the language, we talk about, you know, a person, she's got infinite patience. Well, no, bless her heart, she doesn't. Her patience, however wonderful it may be, has an end. It's got a limitation. We live in that. You see, in life, we are limited. Oh, so much so. Every birthday, I am celebrating my 80th limitation. That is, that there's a limitation. And so every time we have a pain or a sickness, that's reminding us of the limitations of our life and weakness. And of course, the ultimate limitation on life is death. And that is common to all creatures, you follow me. But there are other silly little things, just to point out what we're talking about here. My height, how tall are you? Well, that's your limitation. I'm 6 foot, and well, that's my limitation. I'm not 7 foot, I'm limited to 6 feet, you see. My weight, that's the limitations of my size. Even your shoe size is the limitations of your feet. Everything, wherever you turn, and as I said, we don't even think about this, but wherever we turn, we're limited. And we can only be in one place at one time. Even with the modern internet stuff, you still, as your full person, fully present, can only be in one place at one time. You're limited. And we're limited in our relationships. We can only love very few people, I mean, properly love. In fact, truth is, you only love one person when all is said and done. That's your limitation. You're unable to take it in. You might have found the crushing despair sometimes, horrors, when we hear of tragedies occurring around the world, and we just feel so helpless. Yes, of course, you see, because the fact is, we were not meant to take in enormous tragedies, you know, every time the newscast goes around. We're only capable of giving ourselves, as I say, to a few, and really, ultimately, only to one. And there are situations in life, and we're limited. There comes the point where we just say, there's nothing I can do. I feel helpless, and it's more than a feeling. You've been down every road, and they're all dead ends. It's this limitation that produces frustration, that I know what should be done. I know that, but I can't, and I'm limited. And then we come upon God, who says, with God, all things are possible. And we say that so glibly, so quickly, but that's an enormous statement. With men, he said, with men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Or Jeremiah, remember, throws out the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And I say, we've said that too glibly. We should take a few weeks just to take that in. With God, all things are possible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Truth is, you see, when we really get down to such a verse as that, we can't imagine. We've got no place in our minds to put that. You see, can I imagine, I mean, really, imagine life without limitations? Yeah, think about it. Life without any limitations. That is, there's no diminishing of strength. None. No diminishing of mental powers. No sapping of emotional energy and leaving us in a black hole. None. No, there's no limitations. Can you imagine a life in which weakness does not exist? Limitless. Can you imagine being alive without any old age? Without any sickness at all? Not even a sniffle? And of course, you have to then, can you imagine life that has no limitations? That would mean life in which there is no death. Can you imagine the fullness of life in which joy and pleasure of spirit is forevermore? All things are possible. Can you imagine never facing a situation in which you throw up your hands and say it's impossible? That would not even be a possibility to think of something as impossible. That's, you see, we're touching what it means to be infinite. We have some illustrations in Scripture of how this infinity, this limitlessness, came into our humanity. And of course, they stand out as massive miracles. Do you remember Elijah? And again, we talk this story, preach on this story, but stop and think about it for a week. That the woman comes and says she's got enough meal, enough flour, and enough oil to make some sort of cake. And she said, it's just enough there for me and my son, and then we're going to die of starvation. You remember the story? The woman in Zarephath. And Elijah challenges her to make him a cake, and then promises that the meal, the flour, and the oil would never run out. Now, I mean, be that woman. Go to that barrel where you kept the flour and put in your hand and you can touch the bottom through the flour. There's just enough. And it was just enough week after week, day after day, month after month. On and on it went. Always just enough. But it was always there. It never ran out. And the oil, it always looked, I mean, she looked at the bottle and it was just enough for the one more meal. But it was that day after day as she made meal for Elijah and for herself and her son. It was that's, you see, infinity. Where did the meal come from? Because in our world, when you take a handful of flour, that means that whatever was there is now diminished by a handful. But infinity means it's the same as it was before. There's no limitation here. Or Elisha, remember the woman who needed tremendous help? And so she says, Elisha said, well, what do you have in the house? She says, well, I've got this bottle of oil. And he said, start pouring. And she poured out of that bottle of oil into every container in the house. And then the bottle was still full. And he said, well, now go and borrow from your neighbors. Go and get anything that holds anything. And she kept pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring, and the oil never ran out. That is when what I'm trying to talk about here touches our human existence. As I say again, the oil was never diminished, even though now there were all these containers full of oil which he would sell in the market and the needs would be covered. And there was this, the only reason it stopped pouring is when she had no more containers to fill. Jesus taking the five pita breads, you know, it says five loaves. They were not great big wonder loaves. They were, if you're from Mexico, Puerto Rico, or that, you'll know what I mean by the pita bread, the tortillas. And he had five of them, just enough for a lunch for the kid, and then fishes. And Jesus kept on, and it fed 15,000 people. He says 5,000 men, women and children. And then they gathered up 12 baskets left over. And you say, how did all of that come out of five tortillas and fish? Well, that's when I say again, this is when we touch it. We touch it within our limitedness. We suddenly are smack in the face with the limitlessness of God. You know, it's our limitedness is in our gas gauge. There it is, looking at you in your car, and you watch it go down and down and down. See, the gas gauge is a report on the limitedness of your tank. And the tank, it describes the gas within it. And so here we say we're coming up to empty, which means we've used the gas. Therefore, that was the limit. It said the limit was you can go so far on this and no further. Then you have to fill up again. And the gauge is reporting to us of the condition of our limitedness. Limit, limit, limit. And we've learned to live there. And when I announce to you that God is limitlessness, then we better start understanding what this really means. Okay, I finally got to a point where I can give you a text. It's in Psalm number 36 and in verse 5. And he says, David is singing praise to God. He says, your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. The judgments are like a great deep. Well, what's that? It sounds very poetic. But He is giving praise to the loving kindness of God. And I'll say he was speaking, A, in poetic language, but also he was speaking from where people of that day were scientifically. And so he says, your loving kindness, he said, it's extending to the heavens. Now, the heavens, that doesn't mean heaven, like go to heaven. The heavens, it means the vast reaches of what we call outer space. It means the entire universe. And he says, your loving kindness reaches to the heavens. That is, as he stood and looked up into the night sky and saw the vastness of outer space and all its stars and galaxies. And he says, your loving kindness reaches there into outer space. Now, the outer space is about the only thing we can really sort of think of as limitless. We can't think that there's somewhere an end to space. We can't think of standing on the edge of space. But according to Scripture, God holds space in his hands. He holds the whole galaxy, billions of them in his hands. And so David is saying, your loving kindness, it's like the very outer space that stretches out into beyond sight. You get what I'm saying here? Loving kindness, as vast as the most limitless thing we can think of, outer space, the entire universe. And then he says, your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Skies that again, especially to someone in those days before flying came into being, you reach up and I see the clouds and I see the sky and it's beyond me. I can't see the end of it. Then he says that it's the righteousness is like the mountains of God. As if you are standing. Have you ever been, to Colorado and stood at the base of some of those great mountains? Or maybe even more, have you ever been to British Columbia and to Whistler especially and looked at those vast precipices and those mountains and you feel so utterly small and you wonder how anyone could ever reach the top? Have you ever stood at the base of the Himalaya mountains and so on? It's that sense of it's beyond me. It's so vast. And then he says, your judgments, that they are like a great deep. And again, before they had submarines, and you come to those places in the ocean where it is just, you know, vastness beneath you, the great deep. What's he saying here? He is describing God, especially in his loving kindness, as limitless. And all he can do, you can almost see his mouth sag open. You see, what can I do? You're beyond outer space. Your love is beyond outer. Your faithfulness to us is like the skies. I can't touch them. I can't reach them. And so on. Covenant love, loving kindness. I've talked about it many times. The love that brings about covenant, that arises from covenant where God has sworn to a relationship that shows its love day after day after day. And that covenant love, that is by the oath of God, that follows us through every day, that daily keeping of God, that daily upholding. And usually in Scripture, the word loving kindness is somewhere close by associated with doing loving kindness. or it's associated with keeping loving kindness. It's God's action of love in our lives. And he says there's no limits to that. Now, I mean, take this in. No limit. And don't be quick about it, because you see, as I said, it's very difficult for the human mind to comprehend even the word, let alone the experience. Look up to the sky tonight and realize that the love of God is like outer space. That is, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And there's no sign out there somewhere that says no love beyond this point. No. The love of God, he said, is limitless. That is the most limitless thing within creation, which is not limitless, but it's to us it just about is. Well, God's love goes beyond that, reaches beyond that. There's no boundary to his love, no boundary to knowing his love. And if there's no limits, and you might have to think about this, if there's no limits to his knowing us, then that means each one of us are known and loved equally, as if we were the only one. Remember, I said that human love can only love a very few people, and in actual fact, only one. And when I come to God, have you ever wondered, how can he love me, know me in the details of my life, and at the same time be knowing and loving everyone else? Well, we've touched it here, that there's no limits on his knowing, and therefore he knows us, knows each one of us completely. If you find this a little disturbing, it's because your brain has been baptized in materialism and this world, and therefore to find a God that isn't like you can be upsetting. This is the essence of worship. I stand before God that I can't fit into my silly little file cabinet. And I stand in awe. I stand in wonder. I worship. What a God. And this God who is limitless beyond all my comprehensions, he knows me intimately, knows the details of my life, and he knows the thoughts of my mind. Even as at the very selfsame moment, he is knowing you. See, I can't deserve this. If God were sort of limited to his throne room or something like that, I'd have to work at trying to get into his presence. Yes, I hope you picked that up. Have you ever had to work to get into the presence of the very air around us? Have you ever had to work or deserve to be a creature that spins within this galaxy, part of outer space? No, it just is. Or you could take up on that to say, have you ever had to earn or deserve being the subject of gravity? Right now, as you are seated or standing, listening to what I'm saying, you are held in that position by gravity. And really, it's never occurred to you, maybe certainly never the thought, that you had to do something to get gravity to work. Well, David is saying here, your loving kindness. It's like this limitlessness around us, embracing us, underneath us, over us. I can't deserve that. I can't earn it. Those words don't belong here. All that I can do is, in wonder, acknowledge the reality this is who God is. And maybe what we're talking about here is the best way of understanding is. It just is. Such love that is beyond my grasp, beyond my reach, and yet closer to me than my breathing, and knowing me intimately and personally is. I didn't have to make him see me. I didn't have to awaken his desires toward me. It is so. I was born to this. I've walked in this maybe half my life. I didn't know a thing about it, but it didn't make any difference. God's love never left me. Surely goodness and your loving kindness shall pursue me relentlessly all the days of my life. Then think about this, because see, he brings in faithfulness there in much the same language. The limitlessness of his faithfulness and his loving kindness, they go together hand in hand. There's no limit to what his love has promised and the faithfulness by which he will keep it. There's no expiration date on God's promises. There's no shelf life. There's no hidden restrictions that after you have heard the promise and rejoiced therein, then you read the fine print and find it doesn't apply to you. So that means in my response, there's no limit to my expectation. Huh. So I come to the promises of God, and you know, it's in the very breath of the liar. Hath God said? Hath God said? We read the scripture, and immediately there's a thousand thoughts that come that, well, maybe that's not for me. Or then you think about your great aunt who allegedly trusted God and something didn't happen. And you say, well, what about that? And off you go on a whole series of whys, and it's not for me. No. There are things I don't understand, but most of them are not of my business either. I come to rest in this limitless, unbounded God who has promised, and his keeping of his promise. There's no end to it. There's never an end to his faithfulness. There's no hidden restrictions. And so the scripture says, eye has seen, not seen, ear has not heard, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Maybe we should put in there, eye has not yet seen. For you see, yes, eye has not seen because the vastness of it. And we live in our miserable little boxes and we just don't even go there. Well, when the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, your eye has not yet seen. Your ear has not yet heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Have you realized the vastness of salvation? I've been talking to people in this last while. Their understanding of salvation is, I'll be honest, it's downright miserable. You know, I get letters from evangelists or ministerial stuff, and I don't read half of it anymore. It can be so depressing, because their gospel and their mission in life is all centered around that you've got to say the sinner's prayer and get your sins forgiven so that God can love you and you won't go to hell when you die. Where on earth is that in the Bible? It isn't. Have you ever seen, have you ever caught a glimpse of the unlimited nature of salvation? Salvation that finally, I mean, it's over, it's done, it's finished. He has rescued you from the claws of the liar, Satan. He has wiped out sin. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Why are we so obsessed with sin? Have you ever seen the unlimitedness of the union that is yours, is yours, because it's part of his unlimitedness and his dealings in loving kindness with us to bring us to union with Christ, in Christ, so that we stand before the Father as Christ. Union, one. We've moved beyond saying we're a follower of Jesus. We're not. We're in him and he's in us. Whenever we say he's with us, we have to understand that he's with us in our innermost being, not simply a fellow traveler on the road. Unlimited union, where Jesus said his final words in the gospel. He's talking to the Father of the purpose and plan of the Holy Trinity concerning you, that you and I may be one, and us one, one with Jesus, and with Jesus one with the Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you in Christ one. Oh, I mean, it's a million miles from saying, pray for me, the devil's trying to get me. Ever heard that one? Oh, yeah. Or the other one, pray for me, I sin every day. Pray that I'll make it to heaven. No. Oh, have you seen the limitlessness of this salvation? Where we are called the body of Christ. What's a body? A head and a body that's seamless. Seamless union, an organic union, where the head is, there the body is, where the body is and doing, there the head is doing. And all the New Testament speaks almost in casual language that that's who we are. He is the vine, we are the branches. Now you tell me where one begins and the other ends. There's no limit to his loving kindness. It's vaster than outer space. And every expression of that. And so do I speak of his gentleness? Do I speak of his kindness, his compassion, his patience, his faithfulness? Wherever I turn, whichever word is illustrating or expressing, rather, the love of God, there's no limit. There's no limit to his kindness toward you. You can't do things and suddenly trip over a sign that says you are now leaving the love of God. You've gone too far. No, his kindness is limitless. You can't, there's no boundary. You can't get to a boundary. With God, all things are possible. Casting all your cares, your anxieties upon him, because he cares for you unlimitedly. It's only humans that speak of the impossible, and I am urging you to meditate. You know what meditate, it's not study, it's just chewing this, letting this run through your mind. Listen. That would be the operative word. Listen. And listen to the absolute, the final truth of God. This is who he is. And you are involved with this. Well, you remember the psalmist said, when I consider the heavens, when I lay on my back and look at the vastness of outer space. Well, I'm saying, then, if his loving kindness is vaster than outer space, consider his loving kindness. Gaze. Mull on it. You can't do a rush job on this. The scripture uses such words as exalting him, as magnifying his name. Let the Holy Spirit just show you his majesty, the greatness, the vastness. And as you do so, evil, the liar, shrinks. Because, you see, the devil is nowhere near as big as you think. It's all lies, it's all bluff, it's all masks, smoke and mirrors. And as I look upon the vastness of God's love, then evil shrinks to be the little dot in the corner that it really is. So that life becomes one of discovering the unending. See, we have experiences of God as if, you know, God has become that to us. No, he always was. We have discovered that. We, by our reliance upon and our yielding to the Holy Spirit, he has taken us to a new discovery of this God, that it would, well, it would be the unendingness of existence to continue to discover the God who has no end. You see, and the whole of what we're talking about centers upon Jesus. And in what we're talking about here, think of Jesus. Think now. You might have to go over this again. But Jesus is the Son of God. God the Son. And so he, God the Son, is limitless. He is so limitless that he can enter into our limitedness. If he is limitless and there is no place where he is not, then he must be able to actually enter into limitedness. And that's what we call the incarnation, when God, Son of God, entered into the limitedness of our humanity and creature. God entered into that speck of life in the womb of the Virgin Mary and was limited, born a baby, limited to being cared for by the Virgin. God limited to a certain height, certain weight, certain shoe size, limited to needing to have breakfast and lunch and dinner. Did you follow me? God, unlimited, entered into our limited. God, in that love which is vaster than all outer space, entered into our condition because he would not live without us. And he embraced us and destroyed the ultimate limitation of death and carried us with him to participate in the limitless love of the Father, in the limitless life of resurrection. That's what it means to be a believer. Not just hang around talking about having been forgiven of all my sins and praying I won't do it again. And when they give an altar call, I run forward and weep and bawl in hell as if Jesus never had died. No, no, no. And not to receive Christ under duress, that someone puts an evangelical gun to your head and says, if you don't accept him, you go to hell. That's not believing on Jesus. That's being scared spitless. No, to recognize, I've moved beyond all of that. That's way, I've come to this, that I am in him and he is in me, and I am now participating in the very life and the relationship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The tragedy, and I use that term very carefully, the tragedy is that we set limits on God. They're stupid, of course, but to us they're very real, and that's the point. No one can set a limit on God. You can curse God, spit in his face and say, I hate you and I don't want your love. That doesn't faze him in the least. He simply says, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, and continues to love you with endless passion. You can't escape his love. we cannot limit God. There are no boundaries that we can set up that would separate us. The trouble is we believe in our set limits. And when we believe those limits to be true, then we expect those limits to be the norm for our lives. And so we build our lives around the limits. And whenever I limit God, then I give to evil unlimited. Have you noticed that? It isn't just that one doesn't believe God. We rather now believe rather passionately in the powers of evil in a situation or in our own lives. And that's tragedy. And I meet very nice, good people. And I recognize very quickly they've set limits. That God can do this, but that's about it. And if we pray for him to do more than that, it's a whine and a howl that's full of doubt. And they're forever saying, I don't really expect you to do this, God, but if it be your will, if you could possibly have mercy on this wretched sinner, please. Oh, come on. When he has sworn an oath with his promises that he has said his love toward us is vaster than outer space, well, what are we doing? We can only begin with those unlimitedness that God has given to us concerning himself. But we set our limits, and we say Jesus died for me and took away sin, but immediately look at our lives and say, but now, this is keeping me from God. Did Jesus do anything or not? But we live within the limits. We look at the promises of God and say, well, it's good for some people. It used to be for people. Or like those wretched theologians that are popping up over the last 500 years who say, well, you know, God used to do miracles when the apostles were alive, but he doesn't do that anymore. What blasphemy allowed them to say that of God, the limitless God who has committed himself to us to be the same yesterday, today, and forever? There's interesting in the children of Israel being in the wilderness and the manna issue. Remember the bread or whatever it was? That's, you do know, that's the meaning of the word manna in Hebrew. What on earth is it? So we'll call it bread, but it was something like bread that was full of every nutrient that they needed, that appeared in the mornings, pre-dawn. And at the giving of it, and as the months went on of their eating that, that they're continually rebelling against God. I mean, it's another message all by itself. But finally, the Lord said to Moses, in the middle of all their rebellion and complaining, he said, is the Lord's power limited? Interesting. That was God's own response to the complaining, whining of the people who said that God couldn't feed them properly. And the Lord said, is the Lord's power limited? Interesting. He said, the way you're talking, the way you're discussing this matter, your attitude toward it, you're looking on into the future, you are thinking in terms of limiting the power of God. Or another one in the Psalms, is it Psalm 78, I think? He says, can God set a feast in the wilderness? Well, you see, he can, because with God nothing is impossible. You can be in the middle of the most deserted place in your life and God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit can cause it to become the place of glorious feasting. But we limit. We say, because my feelings are like this, God can't be with me. As if your silly feelings can ever affect God's limitlessness. He is with you whether you feel him or not. You say, well, I did this and brought this upon me. So you think God says, well, you've had it, you're on your own. No. This limitless God, there are no boundaries, and our silly little upsets and mistakes don't change God. He's limitless, goes on and on and on and on. And when I think I must have surely run out of the gas, the tank is full. I keep on pouring, and God never diminishes in my life. He says, the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's power limited? Then he goes on, now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. God says, I'll answer you. You who are so obsessed with everything going wrong, and you who expect everything to go wrong, you who dare to describe me as one who would starve you to death in the wilderness, I'll show you my power is not limited, and I care for my children in the midst of the desert. We see these people, these chaps in the wilderness, you do understand, they had lived through the 10 plagues. They had seen, yes, they'd seen the unlimited power of God that made all the power of Satan put together look like a puff of wind. Egypt was reduced to its knees before this God. They'd seen that. We read about it with bug eyes. But these people had lived through it. These people had actually walked on the base of the Red Sea. They'd looked at mountains of water piled up on either side of them. They had crossed the Red Sea walking on the bottom of that vast sea. They came out the other side and they watched it collapse behind them. They didn't read about that. They were there when it happened. They were there at Mount Sinai when God himself spoke in the Hebrew language and gave to them his word. What's happened that they should now be whining and complaining, and as the Lord says, you're saying that my power is limited? How could you do such a thing? How could you forget? How could you place the plagues and place the Red Sea crossing back there in history as it happened, but right now it's totally irrelevant because I'm hungry and God is not going to feed me? It's our problem. We catch a glimpse. There's a number of you who have seen the unlimited power of God. Maybe once. Maybe more. And, well, that was it. And sometimes whole churches are involved. They see. They've seen this power that won't stop. This power that has no diminishing at work in sick, dying bodies, have seen darkened minds filled with light and joy. They've seen the most impossible cases come to know the love of God. They've seen it. And it becomes their testimony for the next 40 years and say, you should have been there, you should have seen what. But in terms of where I'm at today, well, it was a glimpse. We saw it. But then returned to the same old, which really amounts to some sort of moral code and a God who hopefully is there when you die. We forget. And you know the meaning. I've talked to you about it before. The meaning of the word forget in the scripture is not amnesia. The word forget means to leave something in its place in history and lock it there. So yes, it happened, but it has no relevance for me today. We forget. I don't know if these few words on the limitlessness of God and his loving kindness and faithfulness, but right now, every one of us, beginning with me to our newest partner listening, every one of us are facing some sort of challenge. And I am seeking to challenge you not with your challenge, but to challenge you with the unendingness, the unboundariedness of the love of God toward you in this very second, in the midst of this circumstance, that you should know his faithfulness, which has no end, which has absolutely no fine print, that he is loyal and faithful in every word he has spoken and spoken to you. So, what can I say? Be still. Learn the art of be still. And let your heart meditate. Return again and again to these great truths. Enter your day with this sense that you are inside unending, unbounded, limitless love, and that love is inside of you, and thus you can face the day with worship and knowing that you are more than a conqueror through Christ, who is your life. Well, there it is, and I trust that it blesses you. And as always, but maybe especially at this time, I thank you for your giving. That's what brought us together, but I trust we are bound together by more than dollars and cents, especially when it comes to your praying for us and our praying for you. I thank you for your fellowship. I thank you for the relationship that you and I have. And I thank you for your monthly giving. And could I say, especially as we now embark upon the summer, I know I say this every year, but every year I need to say it, that with all of the going to vacate and going to beach and going to all things and places people do in the summer, please remember us and let your giving continue all through these summer months. We bless you, we thank you, and literally millions of people thank you that receive this message because of your giving. And so may the Lord himself bless you. Open your eyes to the vastness of his person and promises, and cause you to hear his word so personal to you as if you were the only person alive, and to walk into your world in the limitless power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. To that end, I bless you in the name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.